But as we approach the Memorial Day weekend and the unofficial start of summer and all these different things, I just I've been thinking about where we're going as a church and who we are and what's happening in our lives. And I just, one of my goals this year is just, I want to lead you towards faith, and I want to lead you to have a great faith and resiliency, whatever may come your way, as the circumstances and the world feels unstable and all those different things. That's one of my prayers for you and goals for you this year. And so today, I just want to lay a foundation for that and speak to those who've been with us for a while and speak to those who are new with us and everywhere in between, but to encourage you as we are encouraged in scriptures. And I want to open with this scripture. And if you've grown up in the faith or you've read scriptures, you probably remember this or have heard of this verse. But it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. You know, someone's going to say, what is faith? Well, here's a great definition. And this is the middle of the scripture. We call it Hebrews. And it was written to this audience after Christ's resurrection and these new churches that had popped up everywhere. And many people had come from the Jewish tradition of faith and had become Christ followers out of what the Hebrew scriptures had predicted. And so the writer was writing to this audience specifically and had walked them through all that God had done in their past and was going to continue to do to encourage them and all those different things. And it comes to this point here where it says, now faith, what is faith? We have faith for what is to come. And it's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. Now that's not easy to do. And it comes down to faith. And so for us as Christ followers, there's a point of where we say, I believe that God, that you are real, that you exist. And not only that, but I believe that Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he died for us, and that this event happened, his resurrection shows that he is God and proves that, and that we are sinful and that someone had to die in our behalf. And now I believe in you, and not only that, but I trust you, and I obey, and I follow you, and I give you my life. There's this place of where our faith turns into obedience, and there's a joy in that, and to come to a place of faith. And then the first step of faith is baptism, where we follow Christ, and we are baptized, and it's something that Jesus has asked us to do, that God has given to us. And it's our first step of obedience, and then our lives are filled with steps of faith. And so our lives are not easy, and so we run into challenges. And the author of this passage and the writer here is writing to a group of people who had encountered a lot of difficulty, an extreme amount of difficulty, and they were writing to encourage them. And so I want to just to help us see this and look into this and help God speak the same words to you today and to all of us here today. And as a church family, I want to just kind of also give a picture of who we are, because many of you are new with us. You're just beginning to engage with us, or you're new to the city, or you're taking steps back to God. We're all along the spectrum. And this is a time of year where that's very normal. We are in a point, like in May going into summer, where it's just in the city here, especially in New York City, in the metro area, in Jersey City, you know, it is a natural transition point. It's always been like this, where we have a lot of people moving out and then a lot of people moving in. It's just natural changes, and this is typically when that is done in mass. So that's when more apartments are available and so on and so forth. So we experience this as a church family, where this time of year we begin to say goodbye and to others who are moving on. And sometimes it's known, and sometimes it's surprising. And we're like, whoa. And so it's kind of crazy sometimes living in the city, but this is normal. This is a normal thing. It reminded me, as I was thinking about this week, of a conversation I had towards in the first couple of years of our church. We've now been a church for 9 years. We started back in Easter of 2015. And a couple years in, we had someone who's been serving with us from the beginning, joined with us as we started our church. And it was somewhere around this time of year, and we had a couple people who were serving on our teams in significant ways announced that they are going to be moving. They are changing jobs and going to different places in the city. And so there's a young couple serving in a significant way and a couple others. And I remember he came to me, we were talking about this, and I've never forgotten this conversation just because of the way he said it. But he just looks at me, he goes, "Wayne," he goes, "what are you going to do?" It's like, because he's looking at those who, they've been serving and impacting our church family in significant ways. And he just said, "What are you going to do?" And so I looked at him, I was like, "I don't know," and we cried. No, that's not what happened. Some of you like don't know me, you're like, "Man, that's crazy." No. But, you know, it was beautiful for me as a pastor because he was feeling the weight of that. But, you know, how do you respond? Well, that for me, our church was new, but I had been serving in churches in the New York City area at that point, like 8 or 9 years. And it was normal for me to see that happen and to expect it. My first church I worked at that was based out of Manhattan, like it was, I remember that was the first time I'd worked in church, and I was shocked. And I was the one saying, "What are we going to do?" And I helped oversee teams. They had a couple locations and helping our musicians be in different places. And I remember just people calling me like, "Yeah, I'm moving." And it would happen several times over a couple of weeks, and I remember like freaking out. And they're like, "It's going to be all right." And so there's a need and a dependence on God that comes in the city that is unique here, that's different, I really think, than almost any other place in this country. And so we're in one of those places now where we're transitioning, where people are taking steps and jobs are changing, and then people are moving here. And then some of you have been here but are beginning to take steps as you get used to the city. And this is a normal rhythm, but just to acknowledge, it's pretty unique. And so we learn from the beginning to trust God, and there's a beauty that comes from this. There's a beauty because I think more than most other places, just speaking of a church family, like we learn to depend upon God. And so anything that helps you go to that place is always good. And sometimes it's challenges, and we don't like that. But there's a beauty that we can always find. And so this is true of you personally, that there were challenges that you'll face and you'll encounter. And maybe it feels unique where, like, I don't feel like anybody else was going through this or experiencing this and all those emotions that we feel. But there is this great opportunity for you to go to God with whatever that is and learn to depend upon Him. And so we go to Hebrews 1, you know, and where it says, you know, we are confident in what we hope for and what we do not see. But it's also interesting because it goes even deeper. It goes even deeper with this. I want to take you to Hebrews 11:3, just a couple verses later. And it says this. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And so this is like a massive theological statement. And for anyone who's come from a background not of faith, not believing in God, like this is a significant deal. To really just to get like the rubber meets the road, what our ultimate beliefs are, about God, that we believe that God is the creator God. And it's like, you know, these are fun conversations that I get into with my kids, you know, that you eventually do in life. It's like, well, who created this? Well, how did this come to be? And whatever your view is, whether it's a non-religious view or religious view, something started and we wrestle with how that happened. Well, it's like, well, something existed and something didn't. How did it, like, it? How did it even get there? How did that happen? Where did that come from? And it freaks me out. And sorry if I brought your heart there, but like, it's beyond our comprehension at some point in any way. And for us Christ followers, everything for us starts with the death and the resurrection of Christ. And that's where anyone should start in their journey towards God. And so it shows us and it affirms everything that is before. And Jesus' words show us that he was there in the beginning. And so by faith, we don't see it, but it means that everything visible was created out of things that were not. And that's amazing. And it speaks to a God who is beyond us, other than us, but a God who is active. And that also means that we can see him, that he's there with us. And not only that, that he is a personal, loving God who has created us. And that brings hope. And so the writer here is saying, yeah, this is the faith that we stand upon, but this foundation, when it comes to every parts of our lives, especially the struggles, it is a critical thing to know, to believe, and then to continually be reminded of. To continually be reminded of. And so, you know, we like this passage of, you know, faith is what is the things that we hope for and the things unseen. And I've got a lot of things that I hope for. And there's things that you do too. And so it's easy to think about the superficial things. You know, like there's a lot of things that I hope for. Like I hope for a really large bank account. And like, you know, like the security. Like, and so the amount that needs to be continually changes for me. It's pretty interesting. Like if I were to go 10 years back from now and someone to look at my finances and I myself would be like, that's great. But I don't feel that way now. And the world's, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've heard, but levels keep going up, right? And so, but like, so we're hoping for that. So you've got an amount that you might think make you comfortable. We hope for that. Like, I hope for my health to always be great and not to have any issues or any challenges to come there. That's not fully happened, but I'm generally a healthy person. I'm very thankful, but I hope for that. I hope for lots of great vacations. And so, you know, that bank account can help fund that some. And, like, I hope for these things. Like, listen, I'm a normal person, a great car or great apartment. Here's what's interesting. A lot of us check these boxes right now. Isn't that true? Like, we don't feel that way. We hope for more. But when we go to God, when we read Hebrews 11:1, just naturally, this is where our hearts go to. But there are deeper things. There are deeper things, right? So there are deeper quests for you with your relationships, your job, and the deeper longings that go beyond that. And many of you would step forward and say, well, this hope for this bank account is because of these relational reasons. And that's absolutely true. We have to remember, though, that God is not like the Aladdin movie. It's not the genie in the lamp. Did the genie have a name? It's just genie. Anyway, I can't remember. Anyway, he's not the Aladdin movie. I almost want to call him Aladdin, but it's not that, like, but that's what we want. And why is that? There's a actual belief there. Like, well, if God is creator, okay, so God created everything, is that right? Like, then everything that is visible now came from what was not visible. Then he can do a lot. Like, that's pretty amazing. And there's a lot of complexity here. And so we get that. So, and we see Jesus come and Jesus performed miracles. And a couple of Sundays ago, I talked about Jesus' miracle. I think on Easter, I talked about this, where he turned water into wine. That's a phenomenal miracle. And it was really good wine, apparently. And so, like, all right, God, well, you did that. Like, so, and so we go to God with this. And so he is a creator God. And so we then want to take and attach the creator God to everything for us and every immediate moment and desire. And we think, well, because of that, then A plus B equals C, right? So then we think that, like, anytime, anywhere, God can bend everything towards what I want right now. And if you're not careful, you'll be constantly chasing, like, these miracles and all these different things that God, and God can do that. We see that that's true. But we just ignore or forget that there's an order to things, that there's a complexity beyond our imagination, what we can even comprehend, for things to work and things to come together. And there's an order to it, and there's a reason. And when you really look at Scripture and God's words to us, He speaks to that. He shows us that. The book of Job is really brings that out, that forward. And so what is it saying? What shows us the complexity of God and that He is the creator, but that He is in control. And I, you come before today, and I can't tell you what the whys of everything, of why He answers some things and why He doesn't answer some things. Because He is beyond me, and He's the one who is God. And so we look to who He is and what we know, and we stand upon faith with that. And we see Him over and over again and say, I am here, I will be with you. And we want to learn to stand on the confidence of the joy that we know that is ahead. We want to stand on confidence of the God that He is. And we want to stand on confidence that He has defeated death in the grave, and that He does care about us, and that He is leading us, and we can trust Him, and we are pursuing Him with our lives, and that He is good. And we sang that today, that You are a good, good Father. And we learn to stand and say, it's who You are. It's who You are. You are a good Father, and I can trust You. And we're learning to follow Him deeper still, especially in the challenges. And so that is what's happening in this scripture passage when you read Hebrews 11, where it says, well, faith is this. And so what is it? What is it that they were saying? Why did the writer here come to this point? Well, I want to look back on this. It was an encouragement to them, and it was a reminder. So as we look back on to Hebrews 10, it was a reminder to those who were Christ followers. They needed to remember this, the foundation upon which they stand, and it fueled everything. So what was the cause for them to be reminded? So let's look back right before that. This is found in Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 39. It says this. It says, but recall the former days after you were enlightened, meaning after you found Christ, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those who were so treated, that were experiencing the same things. Because of their faith, they were exposed publicly to ridicule and to physical mistreatment. It was not easy, beyond anything that you and I have ever experienced. And it showed other examples. It continues here. It says, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Well, what is this? Well, if someone was being persecuted for their faith, you know, they would be put in prison. And if they stood with them, they would have their possessions taken. The government would come in. And so they knowing that would happen, they joyfully accepted that punishment. Why would they do that? And he was reminding them, says, because you knew that you had a better possession and an abiding one in Christ. And as you read through these scriptures, you see people taking these unbelievable steps. Why would they do that? Because they had found this treasure in Christ, this hope that was beyond all hopes. Because they lived in a world that was very hard, that was hopeless in many ways. And so that suffering reminded them, brought them to Christ, and they found this treasure. And this is harder for you and I because we do live in such great blessing and luxury. And even the least among us here are wealthier than most any other person in the world. And it's unique, and so we forget our need for Christ. But those here had gone through this. And so it continues, and they encourage them. It says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Why would they say that to them? Because they were struggling. He says, don't throw it away, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. That phrase is crazy. everything that you and I are living in right now says the opposite. This, if you really understand this phrase, like, it's offensive. You mean to find the joy is not to pull back, to try to do everything you can to eliminate it, but no, to have endurance, to lean in, because there's purpose. Don't throw away your confidence. There is a great reward. You have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. It says, for yet, and it reminded them as going to past scriptures that they had known. It says, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And the author says, he said, but we are not like those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. And we sang, he calls us deeper still, that we can trust you. And we can know that when we struggle, we don't have to lean back, but we lean in to trust him and invite him into the circumstances of our lives. We learn to move from God, take this away. We can pray that, but then we say, but if not, you pray for strength to lean in and learn and invite him to be with you, whatever your circumstances may be. And we need to be reminded of this. And they did. They needed encouragement. They needed encouragement. And encouragement, part of encouragement is to be reminded of what has happened, who God is, who he is now, and our trust in what is to come, whether we see it in full or not, but we can always hope towards that. And what gives us as Christians hope is because we know what Christ has done. And that we have a foundation to stand on that is unique and like nothing other in the world. There's nothing else like this, that we always have hope for the future, even in immense suffering, if that be God's will. And there is always hope in that. And then we can lean in and we can trust him to lead us through whatever life brings. And there will be times, if it's not happening in your life right now, where you will experience setbacks and suffering and pain and things will not go exactly how you thought they would or you wanted them to, or things are not going the way you thought God would allow them to or not allow them to. There is purpose in all of it. And we don't want to hear that phrase, but we need to, that you have need of endurance. How do I know this? Because I'm the same way. I need these same words. These same words. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God is the God who creates things that we don't see. That is who he is. And he is the one who can work all things new. And there will always be things that don't exist that we need his help for. And so in our church family scenario, going back to my friend that I was referring to earlier, where he was like, Wayne, what are you going to do? And I remember when he said that, I immediately started thinking about all the years before and all those that I had known who had moved. And then I looked, and I was thinking about who is with us now. And the answer, sometimes I want to cry, but that's when I'm depending upon myself. The answer is God has called us to this, and he who is promised is faithful. And I could say in faith to my friend that God is going to provide. And what's interesting is, and even in that moment, he was an executive in a company. He was only here for a couple of years. In fact, he was only here every other weekend. He lived permanently somewhere else and was helping this organization grow, this company grow, and then to whoever they were either sold publicly or they were bought. And that's what happened. And he himself was saying that, knowing in a 2 years, like, he would be gone too. And so it's part of the culture here. But God, that was 8 years ago, 7 years, 7.5 years ago. And 95% of those who are with us right now are with us right now were not part of it then. Only 5%, I would say, are still with us today. Isn't that interesting? This has been God leading us. And the church in the city here, in this environment, is unique. It's really not like this in other areas. Maybe in some cities, but even then, like, it's unique. Like, I know friends in Boston. Boston is a lot more stable than even New York City. It's, I would say, it's just so unique here. I would say, as a pastor, I've probably said goodbye to more people than you'll ever know personally. That's a phenomenal thing for me to think about. But I don't say that in a negative way. It's beautiful. There's a beauty and a joy because it, as a church, we need to learn and know to depend upon God. If he's called us here, then he will provide, and he has, and he will. He has, and we will. And there's a beauty because in this area, we depend upon him. And this is true for your personal life. There is always something that you don't haven't been able to find, but you can depend upon him. And I want to encourage you to learn to lean upon that. So three things for us to apply here. And we'll quickly walk through these. Three statements that we're learning from Hebrews 10 and 11. One is we depend upon God. We depend upon God. This is hard for us here in the city because we are so well taken care of and we're good about producing and creating. And so we don't necessarily like it when we depend upon others. But we're learning that we need God. And what a beautiful thing. There is a joy in finding him. And so in this passage, this writer is saying, remember that you went through this, and don't be encouraged, don't shrink back, but let's lean in. You are in need of endurance and confidence and faith. Faith is we are standing and trusting and following God who breathes life out of nothing, and it's amazing. And it's him who is doing that, and we depend upon him. And eventually, the writer says this in the Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, and he had gone through all these examples of faith of those who had gone before us. And out of that, he said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. And right now, as a church family, we have hundreds and hundreds who have gone before us here in our context, in this city, that have led us here to this moment. Since we are surrounded by such, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let's stay focused on what God has called us to. Let's not settle for the sins, but let's cut them off and run towards God. Because of the joy, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. How do we do this? We depend upon God, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated at the right place, in the place of honor, right beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility that he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Downtown community, whether you have been with us for a while or you're new here, we have a host of those who are unseen that have gone before us. It's really interesting. As I was talking with someone who recently moved back, and she talked about how in the church that she was attending after she moved away, like she was like, they didn't need me. They had so many things going. And she was reminded of being part of the church here. And she's like, it was so different. Here, we were the church. And it's so unique here. You'll look around and there are people with us who've been that helped us start this church and we're here from the beginning, but it's very few. And so when you look around and we attend each week, we are the church. And there's such a joy and excitement. And there's a great opportunity for you to experience God maybe in a way that you never would. And you were invited into that great story. But it is also true of your own life. As you learn to depend upon Him, that beauty is greater than anything else that you'll ever find. So what we learn is we depend upon God. The second thing we learn is this, is it is God who does the work. It is He who is doing it in us. And He is continually calling us deeper into learning to trust Him, to do the work in your own heart, the things that you hope for, that you long for, that you trust Him for. It's Him who does the work. And this is all throughout Scripture. Just real quick, John 1, 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is speaking of Jesus poetically. "He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made." Now, we made this table, but it was God who, like, out of resources that God made. And I didn't make this table, obviously. I am not that gifted. But it's easy for us to take pride in so many things, but we forget it's God who's doing the work. Listen, I'm not the world's most amazing pastor. We're here, and we've continued as a church because it is God's will, how He has led us. We are the church. So much of what we stand upon today is the unseen. And how beautiful is that? Look around here. You are the church. God has called us. As He does the work, we can follow Him. There's freedom in that. There's freedom that when we are obedient, He is faithful. When you're obedient with your personal life, whatever's in front of you, He is faithful. Doesn't look like you wanted it to look, but He's faithful. How do you know that? We look to the cross, and we stand on Him. And that leads us to how do we experience this? Number three is we trust and obey. I want to encourage you to be reminded of this. If you are here in this city, we love you. We are passionate about you and helping you be part of family and community. And whether you think you're here for a year or 10 years or a lifetime, you'd be amazed in 1 year what God can do with your lives and the habits you'll develop. And if you move, great. We're going to champion and celebrate you doing that. But you take these steps now. Wherever you move to, you'll do that again. And you'll be amazed the life that you experience when you trust and obey God. So for today, be faithful with today. Like we read in Hebrews 12, we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. Let us strip off what slows us down. Let us run with endurance the race God has set for us. Real quick, are you hurting? Are you hurting today? Are things not going right? I don't know God's will for you in that scenario. But you can find the beauty in Him. He hurt for us. He suffered in ways we would never believe. It's unimaginable what He has suffered. He knows what it's like. And you can go to Him. Are you new here? I want to invite you to engage with us and take steps. Don't sit on the sidelines. There's a place for you. There are gifts that our body are waiting for, that God has called you to for this time in this city. You can serve in a Sunday team or be part of Go Jersey City. And then are you new to faith? Are you far from God? We hope this is a safe place for you to come and ask your questions of Him and to seek Him out. And we want you to do that. Keep coming back. and engage with us. We love to point you to Christ and the hope that we have in him. The beauty is dependency, that we can trust God and obey because we need him. And DCC, I look forward to the 7 months ahead for the rest of this year and all that is to come because God has called us and he will be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. God, I pray that as we hear these words, that you would encourage our hearts in all things and all times, that we can always trust you and go to you. God, in this period of the time of year where we see transition and people taking steps, God, may be reminded that you have been faithful and you will be. May we experience you by being part of a church family. I also pray for our personal lives, for the things that we long for and we hope for. I pray that we would bring them to you and discover not the answer to that, but the beauty of finding you because of it. I pray that we would know that this year deep in our hearts. Thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.